Hello again, everyone. This is Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Mike Moret, and this is our fourth study through the book of Deuteronomy. We come to Deuteronomy chapter 2, and we pick up our study today in, we are in chapter 2, verse 16. Let's pray. Father, we ask that our hearts are good ground, that we would hear your word and understand your word, and that your word would bear fruit in our lives 100-fold. In Jesus' name, amen. The Israelites are about to enter into the promised land, and the whole book of Deuteronomy, most of it anyway, is about Moses speaking to the people and recapping their history and how they reached the promised land 40 years earlier, and God said, go in and take it. But they refused to do it. They rebelled. They panicked. They sinned against God. And God said, okay, then turn around and wander in the wilderness and tell every single one of you adults who disobeyed me, die in the wilderness, and then I will give it to your children. And so that's where we are in verse 16. The last of the adults of that previous generation has died. And it says, now when the last of these fighting men among the people had died, and by the way, they died normal deaths. And yet some of them were pretty young, too. Maybe only in their late 50s. But it was God's wrath that caused them to die because they sinned against him over and over again. In verse 17, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, so after they crossed the brook that we saw last week and crossed the valley, then God spoke to Moses, and this is what he said in verse 18. Today, you are to pass by the region of Moab at Ar. Now, God did not permit Israel to enter the nation Moab, but only to travel past its borders. And Israel is told to begin moving right away. Verse 19. When you come to the Ammonites, do not harass them or provoke them to war, for I will not give you possession of any land belonging to the Ammonites. I have given it as a possession to the descendants of Lot. The Ammonites, like the Moabites, were descendants of Abraham's nephew, Lot. God is telling Israel not to disturb them. Don't pick a fight with them, and don't try to take any of their land either. Verse 20. That too was considered a land of the Rephites, who used to live there, but the Ammonites called them Zamzumites. In the real old days, before this place became Ammon, the home of the Ammonites, it was also a land of the giants, like really the Holy Land was at that time as well. The Rephites lived there, and they were something else. They were big, they were tall, they were tough, they were mean. Sinners, they were crafty, and they had the reputation of being very skilled at inventing evil. And so, verse 21, it says, they were a people strong and numerous, and as tall as the Anakites. The Lord destroyed them from before the Ammonites, who drove them out and settled in their place. And so the Lord wanted to give the Ammonites their own land years earlier. He wanted to give them the land of the giants, and so God destroyed those wicked people. And they were as evil as they were tall. And so there was no way that the children of Ammon, the Ammonites, could have defeated them without the help of God. God clearly gave the Ammonites their land, and so that's why he doesn't want Israel taking any of it from them. Verse 22. The Lord had done the same for the descendants of Esau, who lived in Seir, when he destroyed the Horites from before them. They drove them out and have lived in their place to this day. And we looked at that last time, how God gave the descendants of Esau their own land, and it became the nation of Edom. And so we see that giving groups of people their land to live in did not begin with Israel. God gave land to the descendants of Esau and the descendants of Moab and the descendants of Ammon as well. Verse 23. Here's another group. And as for the Avites, who lived in villages as far as Gaza, the Kaphtorites, coming out from Kaphtor, destroyed them and settled in their place. You say, well, now, I've never heard of these people. And what difference does it make? You know, what difference does it make to me, or to Israel for that matter, that these people defeated someone and took their land? Why is God including this in His Word? Well, if you are about to enter the land of the giants, like Israel was, and you plan on taking their land, it's good to know that God has done it. He's done the same sort of thing for other people several times in the past. And so we see that the Word of God is not just hell and fire and wrath. Much of it is for the encouragement of God's people. And that's what this is. These brief history lessons were for the encouragement of Israel, to give them the spiritual backbone to go into the land of promise and take it with God's help. He's done it in the past, Israel. He'll do it again. That's what this is all about. Verse 24. Set out now and cross the Arnon Gorge. See, I have given into your hand Sihon, the Amorite king of Heshbon, and his country. Begin to take possession of it and engage him in battle. Now, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves here, as we will see in a second. But they were forbidden, the Israelites were forbidden, to attack Moab. We saw that last time. And they were forbidden to attack Edom. We saw that last time. And they were forbidden to attack Ammon. We just saw that. But they are commanded to take the land of the Amorites. Well, now that they have heard the word of God and been encouraged by God, it's time for them to get to work. But notice verse 25. It says, this very day I will begin to put the terror and fear of you on all the nations under heaven. They will hear reports of you and will tremble and be in anguish because of you. Because of the amazing show of God's power on behalf of His people Israel, other nations are going to be afraid, terrified. No one will want to mess with them. And if they are smart, they will want to be friends with them. Look at verse 26. From the desert of Kedemoth, I sent messengers to Sihon, king of Heshbon, offering peace and saying, now stop there for a second. Before the Israelites do any kind of attacking, they give the king of Heshbon an opportunity to make a peace treaty. And as we have seen, Israel was not supposed to attack every nation that they came upon. And here they try to make friends with Heshbon by sending a nice, respectful letter to its king, a fellow by the name of Sihon. Verse 27. Let us pass through your country. We will stay on the main road. We will not turn aside to the right or to the left. In other words, king, could you please let us pass through your country? We'll stay on the main road. We won't go into your fields. We won't go into your vineyards. We won't steal your produce. We won't cause you any trouble at all. Could we just pass through? Verse 28, the letter to this king continues, sell us food to eat and water to drink for their price in silver. Only let us pass through on foot. In other words, we're not going to steal anything, and we're not going to cause any trouble, but maybe if it seems okay, you could sell us some food and sell us some drink. Verse 29. As the descendants of Esau who lived in Seir and the Moabites who lived in Ar did for us until we crossed the Jordan into the land the Lord our God is giving us. And so Israel is trying to make this Sihon, king of Heshbon, they're trying to make this king understand that they're just not interested at all in taking their land. All they want to do is pass through. They try to make it clear here. Israel tries to make it clear that they are headed beyond the land of Heshbon. They're headed across the Jordan to their own country. And so all Israel wants is to be a good neighbor with Heshbon and its king. In verse 30, "But Sihon, king of Heshbon, refused to let us pass through, for the Lord your God had made his spirit stubborn and his heart obstinate, in order to give him into your hands, as he has now done." God never uses his almighty power to force someone to do something contrary to their free will. That's why there's so much evil in the world, because man has a free will, and God will not violate it. And so God never uses his almighty power to force someone to be mean or sinful. Certainly he never does that. However, he does give people over to their sinful ways, which is what he did to Sihon, king of Heshbon. The king refuses Israel's offer of friendship, and God in his sovereignty will use that. Verse 31, "The Lord said to me, see, I have begun to deliver Sihon and his country over to you. Now begin to conquer and possess his land." By hardening the heart of the king, which was really giving him his own sinful desires, the stage is now set for Israel to take his land. In other words, God, as this verse says, has begun to give Israel his land, the land of Heshbon. Verse 32, "When Sihon and all his army came out to meet us in battle at Jahaz..." Now, Israel had no evil intentions. They wanted peace. And so this was an unprovoked attack against them by Sihon, the king of Heshbon. Totally unprovoked. Verse 33, "The Lord our God delivered him over to us, and we struck him down, together with his sons and his whole army." Israel didn't start this fight, but through the power of God, they finished it. Verse 34, "At that time, we took all his towns and completely destroyed them, men, women, and children. We left no survivors." God gave these people a long time to repent, and they did not. And so now they were wiped out. God's righteous justice. And the children who died, well, as always, as all children, they went to heaven. And God does not destroy the innocent with the guilty. I guess we'll have to stop here for today. We'll pick up our study in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 35 next time. Father, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Let the beauty of the Lord our God rest upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Until next time, this is Mike Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse, reminding you to stay in the Word and stay in prayer. So long, everyone.